Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, updates from the airport, including the existing parking garage and a controversial video. Plus, an independent group decides the travel program you're listening to is one of the 15 best in the country. Those stories next in the news.
Renting a car comes with a host of potential issues, from drip pricing to the car companies trying to extract dollars from renters for non-existing damage upon the car's return. But California's stepping up. A new law gives consumers some protection on the pricing front. Details in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22.
Our international road reporter Clayton Whitehead checks in at 11:35 with a report on his recent trip to Italy, which featured stops in Rome, Tuscany, and Florence.
And at 11:50, Mark talks about travel insurance. Should you buy it? Who should you buy it from? What type of insurance should you buy? We have answers for you.
Thanks for coming along with us this morning. Our goal is to make you a smarter traveler next time you hit the road. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, hosted by Mark Hoffman right over there. And I'm Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, our website, where you can find links to our special guests and so much more, is TravelGuysRadio.com. All right, in the travel world, Mark, how was your week?
It was good. Last Sunday, got home from our mystery tour. We talked a little bit about this. Last week, we flew into Philadelphia and flew out of Pittsburgh, went across the state of Pennsylvania, Scranton, and the little town of Indiana, Pennsylvania, were our two major destinations. Scranton's a fascinating town. I've wanted to go there for a long time. It's a very hard scrabble town, and, of course, former President Biden spent a good part of his life in Scranton. Scranton is one of those old coal mining towns that, you know, coal mining sort of went away, so they had to reinvent themselves. Mm-hmm. And different communities have had different levels of success with that. Scranton is doing pretty well. There's three communities there, and they have a fairly good sized airport. And the town is doing pretty well. Has a lot of rail history. And then we went down to Indiana, which is the hometown of Jimmy Stewart. So every year at Christmas, they have a big It's a Wonderful Life festival. Celebration in Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Interesting.
And just north of there is a kind of a cool destination. You know, every Groundhog Day when they go to Punxsutawney and they bring the groundhog out and he sees his shadow or he doesn't, and it predicts the weather for the year. So we went there, and they have a whole grand royalty of folks in Punxsutawney that run that whole thing.
Do they do a reenactment of them coming out of the hole and all of that on a daily basis?
They did not, but they brought Phil out to see us.
Yes.
And the interesting thing about Phil is that Phil is married to Phyllis. And to hear the story as they tell it in Punxsutawney, there have been lots of Phyllises, but there's only been one Phil. So Phil eats this, drinks this magical elixir, which keeps Phil just going on forever. I think us guys have a thing like that now, the magical elixir that keeps us going on forever. Anyway, Phil just goes on forever, and there's a new Phyllis. When she passes away, they get a new Phyllis, but the same Phil they are. So the lore goes in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Also went down to a Frank Lloyd Wright World Heritage Site, UNESCO World Heritage Site called Falling Water, which is kind of cool. And then we had the pleasure of making our way through downtown Pittsburgh on Sunday at about 11 o'clock, which is about 2 hours before the Steeler kickoff. So traffic around downtown Pittsburgh was kind of zoo-like. Yes, note to self, try to avoid downtown Pittsburgh on a Steeler Sunday. Anyways, we had a good time. A lot of nice people. Mystery tours are a lot of fun. They go to places that you probably wouldn't go to on your own, and we had a good time. Thanks to all the people who went along with.
Well, all right. If you're joining us for the first time, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and at the top of every program, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with today's edition, bring on Mark Hoffman to see what's new in the news.
There you go. First up top, we have an update from the airport. I got off a plane on Sunday evening.
That's good.
And noticed that we were going through, making our way through the parking garage, and the elevator went up instead of down. We found ourselves on the sixth floor, and the guy in the garage next to me said, "Oh, my goodness, there's nobody up here. The sixth floor is closed. I wonder why that is." And I said to him, "I have no idea, but I will find out." And the guy looked at me kind of strange, and I said, "Yeah, 11 o'clock Saturday on Sactown Sports, and I'll have the answer for you." And he just looked at me, and we went away, and I think he was glad to get out of the elevator. Anyways, if the man who was in the elevator happens to be listening,
yes,
here is the answer. The parking garage, one floor is out of commission right now on an ongoing basis. What they're doing is they're putting in an updated sensor system. So it will be able to tell you as you're entering the garage, how many spaces are available, if there are any, in the garage. I believe there's an old system there. It's been there a long time, and apparently they're updating it. So they're closing. Scott Johnston from the airport told me that they are closing one floor at a time. So they are moving down to the fourth floor. So if you go there and you say, "Well, wait a minute, there's all kinds of parking available. Why don't they let people here?" It's because, and apparently it's taking about 45 days to do each one of those. One other thing I want to take a minute here and just mention, if the government shutdown doesn't get settled in the next couple of days, some people are going to start to miss a paycheck. And you all know, I'm sure, that the air traffic controllers, who you never see when you're at the airport, most likely, and the TSA people are basically working without a paycheck. And hopefully, hypothetically, they will get back pay when all of this is settled. But if the checks don't come on time, there's going to be some people who are going to have a hard time of it. I don't know if they'll keep working or not. Lines could get longer. Flights could be delayed. All of that stuff. My whole point that I'm getting at here is the folks you're interacting with, the TSA folks, nobody thinks the whole security thing is fun, but it's something that helps keep us safe. I would point out that the airplanes have not gone down since TSA came about. So you might just, these folks are working without pay. You might just say thank you. You know, as you pass through security, you might just say thank you for coming to work. I think if a lot of people did that, it would make a significant difference.
Sure, it would.
If I were working without pay,
yeah,
and people let me know that they appreciated the fact I was there, I would feel like I'd maybe made the right choice.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in and working without pay on this show, Mark. I haven't thanked you for that in a long time.
Yeah. So this is Be Kind to TSA Week for the next couple of weeks. And when the government opens back up and they get their back pay and stuff, you can go back to grousing and doing whatever it is. Also, listen, here's one other thing about the airport right now. We talked about this last week about the new video that Christy Noem put together. And it's it's a video you watch while waiting to get through security, which is supposed to be just like an informational video, but she did it in a very political way. A number of airports are refusing to show the video. Sacramento is one of them. So just wanted to give
interesting.
You
interesting. Oh, wow.
Little update.
All right.
Yes, the security, the national security gals video is not showing here. Listen, Clear just announced something. If you have Clear, I've been grandfathered into it from United Airlines for a couple of years. And so if you're going to give it to me free, I'll take it. Clear is kind of a line cut. You know, TSA PreCheck is sort of a line cut. Well, Clear is the line cut above that. So it's a shorter line. It's biometrics. You show them your eyeballs. They look at your boarding pass. They take you into the TSA line. Five airports have just announced new e-gates at airports. Using biometrics, you do not have to interact with a person until you get up to, so you can get through the Clear part of it without interacting with anybody. They read your eyes. They check your boarding pass. It's like the gate opens, and now you're up to the TSA person. So they're thinking that this will significantly speed up people's pass through security. And if it does, then more people will buy it. It is a paid sort of thing, unless you're grandfathered in with one of the airlines. So anyway, Clear may be the closest airport to us of the five is Seattle. So if you have Clear and you go there and the experience is a little different, that's what we're speaking about. AARP's 2025 travel trends are out. This is for mature travelers. It shows that more mature travelers plan to travel this year than last year. 70% of those aged 50 plus. Wow, mature traveler is 50 plus now. This is going to be news to people who are 51 and 52. plan to travel this year up from 65% in 2024, so slightly more. They expect to take an average of 3.9 trips. How do you take 3.9 trips? Do you like? Do you go out and come home? You intentionally go to the airport a day early, or
right?
I'm just wondering. It's just a question. let's see here. Oh, this is kind of cool. A nationally known media group that rates travel podcasts. They also rate, as it turns out, other types of podcasts. So their top 15 travel podcast list is out, and we are on it.
Oh my gosh! Clearly a mistake.
We're on it. We're on it at number six. And you know, when you look at this list, there are like some real actual people, like Peter Greenberg and some of these people who, you know, do travel for a living and have all of their life. So our podcast was ranked number six because of the high level of content. My goodness, they must have been a week when we weren't here and they had somebody else doing the program.
All right. All I can tell you is that it must be bogus.
high level of content and an accent on providing travelers with information they can use. That was their comment about us. So since that's sort of what we're trying to do, that was kind of nice. Hey, listen, if you like Ken Burns programming and or you support PBS, they are having a showing of his program on the American Revolution. Apparently, this is going to be like a 12-part series or something. One of the first one, no charge for the screening tickets. It's Sunday, November 9th at 3 p.m. at the Crest Theater. A bunch of the tickets are already spoken for. If you go to travelguysradio.com, there is a link to get tickets for November the 9th at the Crest Theater. It's free screening for Ken Burns' program. If you want to go, get a ticket quickly, because it said the website says over 500 have already been spoken for, and I think the theater only holds about 800, if I'm... here's a note from our friends at Travelers United. It says the right time for a hotel room complaint / switch is when you arrive. They are pointing out the fact that the easiest time to get your hotel room moved is when you get there, either at the front desk or you go up to your room and something is wrong. Don't say, I'm going down for dinner in a couple hours. I'll talk to them and get it changed then. No, because a bunch more people will have checked in then, and there might not be the flexibility to get what you want. So Travelers United says, hey, if there's something wrong with your room, tell them about it immediately. Absolutely. And you'll have a much better chance of getting moved to someplace that you want. We're getting a new airline in the U.S. 2027, they're going to launch. It's a luxury U.S. airline. It's called Magnifica Air. We have seen this sort of thing before. Other people have tried it and not gotten too far. They're going to use Airbus 220 aircraft, which is not quite a full-size jet, but pretty close. It will be configured with 44 to 46 fully flat seats, plus four private suites at the front, a lounge at the back. The article does not say how much it's going to cost to fly on this lovely new airline. I wish them luck. I won't be there, but maybe they'll have a press thing or something like that.
You never know. A coupon day. like at Jurassic Park. We'll have a coupon
day. Two for one. Yeah. I think probably not. I wish them luck, but it's never worked before. And finally, I have a thing here with a whole bunch of great ghost sites, but I'm out of time. So we'll save that until next week.
Right. And then eventually they'll get posted at travelguysradio.com?
Actually, they already are. So if you're interested in ghost sites and you're saying, this guy ghosted us on the ghost sites, go to travelguysradio.com. You can also sign up for our podcast there, which is nationally recognized as one of the best travel podcasts in the country. They said egotistically, hey, listen, stuff like that doesn't happen very often. So we just thought we would call it to your attention. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Want to take a minute to talk about our favorite place for dinner, Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. They have a little bit of everything for everyone. They have a great Kobe burger if you decide that you don't want to do a steak or a lobster or whatever. But right now, the special, we always got to mention the special, is the prime rib and scampi. I'm a big-time scampi fan, and nobody makes it better than Rudy's. And the prime rib, of course, is some of the best. All of that comes, you know, with the San Francisco sourdough, the baked potato, and they make fabulous asparagus. Hopefully you like asparagus. It's fantastic. Right now, the prime rib and scampi for only $36.95. Available 7 days a week for dinner and for lunch, Monday through Friday. Well, nice thing about Rudy's with this cold weather is that fabulous clam chowder.
Yeah, and hey, if you like, yes, the clam chowder is excellent, as I've pointed out on numerous occasions before. And the other thing I just want to say about Rudy's is if you're the kind of person who likes a restaurant that's kind of old school, you know, where there really is an accent on service and they're really kind of fussing over you a little bit and stuff like that, then that's Rudy's. Because they really do care about their customers. They really do want you to have a good time. And a lot of the people who work there have worked there for a while. So it's not if you go to Rudy's, you'll see all these people walking in and saying hello to the staff and all this kind of stuff, because that's the sort of place that it is. So if you haven't been there yet, you need to go to Rudy's and try it out. The food is delicious and the halibut is wonderful. It's a great match with the clam chowder.
And they have a thing called the Travel Guy Special. 6 ounce lobster tail, only $29.95. Rudy's Hideaway, easy to find, just off of Highway 50 in Hazel, in Rancho Cordova. All right, we are the Travel Guys. Let's talk car rentals, the good and the bad, next here on the Travel Guys. Wonderful Saturday morning. We are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Going to talk about, you know, for some people, it's one of the things they enjoy most about going on vacation, and for others, it's the biggest nightmare, and that is car rental. You know, for a lot of times, it's an opportunity. It was for me many times to get into a car that that's practically brand new and try it out and see how the family likes it and so forth. Mm-hmm. But not so much anymore.
Wow, we can tell you're a leisure traveler.
Yes,
because you said something in there like one of the most exciting parts of the, you know, is renting a car. And sure. To those of us who travel a lot, one of the most dreaded parts of the whole thing is renting a car. Although with some car rental companies, if you're a frequent renter now, they will have, you know, you don't have to check in. You just go and you pick a car out of this area and drive to the exit, and the computer says, yeah. This guy's legit, and off you go.
Right.
So that's easier.
Yeah.
But then there's still the people who listen to this program are familiar with the fact that I guess it was beginning of the summer, Hertz tried to nail me for some damage on a vehicle that I'd returned. But I do I take the pictures of the car before. I take it before I check the car out and after I bring it back, because the great thing about your phone is that all the pictures are time dated. So there's no question as to when you took them.
Yep.
And they tried to nail me for some damage, and I didn't send them. My lawyer actually told me, because I'm a businessman, there's a lawyer in the background. And I said, hey, what do I do about this? He said, you just tell them that you have pictures. And I said, so I send them the pictures? He said, no, you don't send them the pictures. You just tell them you have the pictures, and that if they want to press the issue, that you'll see them in court. Never heard from him again.
Well,
and I actually do have the picture. So,
you know, what's wrong with people? What's wrong with companies that would think that they could scare people into paying for damages that didn't occur? I guess they just play on those people that are gullible, I guess would be the term. and are good people that if you said I dented your car, I must have, because I trust you as an honest businessman running this multi-billion dollar car rental company. And then there are others that are, sadly mistaken.
Well, Hertz now, of course, as we've documented here, is now using an AI tunnel to check your car out. So anything larger than like a dime, the tunnel will pick up and will say, hey, this wasn't here before the car went out and it's here now. What if it's a clod of dirt?
Right.
That just stuck to the side of the car.
Absolutely.
Also, let's confess that their incidental damage, if you've ever owned a car, you know that it doesn't stay brand new forever. You take it to the grocery store and somebody next to you isn't careful and they open their door and they ding your door a little bit and the first time it happens, it makes you aggravated as hell. And the second time it happens, it makes you angry. And then after that, you say, well, heck, this kind of stuff happens. Where it's called wear and tear. I mean, we're not talking about a 10-foot dent in the car here, but we're talking about just normal stuff. And some of the car rental companies have become rather obtuse about going after people for little things. So in Hertz's case, I rented from them for, 40-something years? And they came after me for something that I didn't do. So not only did I not pay up, I don't rent from Hertz anymore. So, listen, the reason that we're here is because California car rental companies are particularly bad at the drip pricing thing. What's drip pricing? That's when you log on to the hotel website and it says, hey, your room is $129. And by the time you get to checkout, your room is $187.42. And you're like, what the heck happened to $129? Well, the resort fee and the taxes and the parking and the we charged you because we can fee and all of that stuff is in there. And now suddenly the price is different. In many cases, this is for airlines, hotels. They have to tell you what the price is up front. The first time you see the price, it has to be all-inclusive. It has to include all of those reasonable things like taxes, like resort fees, mandatory things that you're going to have to pay. Car rental companies are particularly good about destination fees and facility charges and all of this different rigmarole that drives up the cost of the car. So there's no way with a rental car that when you get to the bottom line, it looks anything like the top line. So this new law in California says no more of that. You have to show the whole price up front. So why is that significant? Because we've seen this happen when the law in California regarding hotels was passed and Marriott conformed to it. Guess what happened? Marriott pricing all over the United States suddenly became upfront pricing. So people who lived in Iowa were protected by a law that was passed to protect consumers in California because Marriott said, this would be too complicated to have different websites and everybody knows this is all BS anyway. So when they get caught on it and they finally get caught on it, then it's like, all right, we'll just do it the way we should have done it all along. So this car rental law, I have no doubt, is going to be exactly the same way. People all over the country are going to benefit from the fact that rental car companies are probably not going to create a California-only website. They're going to just say, all right, the gig is up. Let's just give people upfront pricing and tell them what the car really costs. And then we can make comparisons and we can make intelligent buying decisions and we don't have to jump through hoops. And why is that such an issue? I really don't understand. If every car rental company does the same and it's all up front, the guy with the cheapest price will still prevail. And the least amount of bogus fees and all the rest of that stuff, whoever really offers people the best price will prevail, as opposed to the guy who figures out a way to put a cheap price on the first page and double that price by the time you get to the last page. I hope that makes some sense.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. I used to spend a lot of time drilling into a car rental, car rental $99 a day or whatever it was. And then you like you say, flip the page, flip the page. Mm-hmm. By the time you get to the end, it's $199 a day. And I think a lot of us have. It is really inconvenient. And it'll be nice to see it go away. And good for California, once again leading the way. We just hope that it stays that way as the big boys in Washington don't decide to think that all of this is just confusing to people.
And it's funny, Tom, because you go out on the road and there's this thing about, you know, California, well, the prices are higher there and the fuel is higher there and everything's expensive there. One of the reasons that things are more expensive here is because we pay our tourism people a living wage and our fast food people. And we have things like this that protect consumers and systems set up where people can't get taken to the cleaners. So, you know, you may come here and if you don't get skewered by somebody, maybe you go home and you didn't notice that. But if you had gotten skewered, you certainly would have noticed. And there's less chance that it happens in California than anywhere else. All right, we're just about out of time here. Clayton Whitehead went to Italy, and he has got some, I mean, he's a world traveler, and he's been doing this for a long time. He's got some great stuff to share with us right after the break.
Rome, Tuscany, Florence, wine, food, all of that next here on The Travel Guys.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
If you're looking for a travel company in Sacramento and you're a mature traveler, Sports Leisure Vacations is where you should be looking. Whether you're thinking about an exotic trip to somewhere in Europe, maybe Iceland, perhaps you'd like to celebrate the centennial of Route 66 next year with us, or you're just into short local trips, maybe a day trip to San Francisco to see some type of play or cultural arts event. Sports Leisure Vacations has all of those opportunities. You can check us out at sportsleisure.com, or you can call our office at 916-361-2051 and ask for your copy of our 2026 tour catalog. Sports Leisure Vacations, offering trips for mature travelers since 1979.
We are Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Remember now, links to our special guests and so much more can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Joining us here on the program this morning is Clayton Whitehead, also with Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, tell us a little bit about Clayton and what are we going to talk about?
Clayton is sort of our international road reporter and does a lot of international adventures with groups of sports leisure travelers and has just returned from a trip to Italy. And I thought that some of what he had to share would be of interest to folks who are considering a trip to Italy sometime in the foreseeable future. Clayton, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Hi, Mark and Tom. It's great to be here.
So you have just returned from an extended trip to Italy. It was called A Culinary Journey Through Tuscany and Florence. What made it a culinary journey?
Here in the farm to fork capital of Sacramento, that's kind of something that we all understand. And this trip to Italy, especially our time in Tuscany, was really focused on that element, that farm-to-fork element, where your food comes from and how it gets from the farm to the table. We had a special emphasis on pasta and on olives and olive oil, and then, of course, wine.
Oh, wow. All Italian sort of things.
Yes. Manja, manja, manja. That was the primary theme of this tour.
Yeah, there you go. Manja.
Yeah. So was it about more about learning how things are put together, or was it about the proof in the pudding? In other words, was it more about the final product, the meals? And
yeah, this was not a tour that was built heavily around classroom experiences. We had one pasta making class that we all did attend as a group, and that was pretty good fun, actually. It kind of almost reminded me of a sitcom with Lucy and Ethel when we started throwing flour and little bits of dough at each other. And anyway, it got a little out of hand, but it was good fun. But it was really more about traveling the landscape, visiting farms, agritourism, as they call it over there in Europe. And meeting the people that produced these elements and bring them to the table. And then, of course, lots of sampling especially of the wine.
So you were out in the countryside some.
Yes.
But I noticed from when I took a look at your itinerary, you had a lot of multiple night stays. You stayed 5 nights in Tuscany when you first arrived. Looks like you wrapped up with Rome and Florence in between. Is this kind of a signature of your travels before we get into individual places of trying to make extended stays in a few choice destinations as opposed to perhaps covering more ground?
I have to confess, I was speaking to someone a little bit earlier today who is thinking about a career in the travel industry, and I was telling her how my own perception of what I do has changed over the years. I started doing this when I was 17, and now I am considerably older than that, in my early 60s. So obviously lots of things have changed, not the least of which is my own body and the way I perceive the world and free time and activity levels. And I used to be, if it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium. I used to be one of those people that just packed in as much as possible. And on some itineraries, that meant a lot of movement from hotels to hotels to hotels. Now I'm ratcheting back on that, and I'm looking for itineraries that maybe don't cover as much ground, but keep you in a stationary place multiple nights. In fact, next year, if I can just jump ahead a little bit, in May, I'm doing my first ever tour to England that is a one hotel tour. We're going to London. We're staying 7 nights in London, and then we're coming home. And it is not a comprehensive England tour, but it is a very comprehensive London and the London area tour. And we're doing it from one hotel, and I think that's extremely appealing.
I think with experience in the travel business comes the reality that it is often better to choose fewer destinations on an adventure and spend more time in them to give yourself. And plus, there's a lot of things can happen. This is the real world, so things like traffic and illness and all sorts of things. You eat something on the road that doesn't particularly agree with you, and you're not 100% for a day or two. So if you have a little wiggle room in your itinerary, well, you have a chance to make recovery. We're talking with Clayton Whitehead from Sports Leisure Vacations about his recent trip to Italy and some of his observations here on the Travel Guys. Clayton, let me ask you, highlights of your trip. Obviously, you went to some destinations that many people are probably salivating, listening, Florence, Tuscany, Rome. What were a few of the highlights?
Right. Well, Tuscany is all that. I'll say Tuscany is all that. I had never done a tour that's so concentrated on that one region of Italy. We stayed in a rural resort. We were doing a lot of these agritourism events. We were going to small villages. I visited Lucca for the first time. That was a real thrill. But it was a slower pace and a lot less people and a lot less traffic and a lot less noise. And to me, it was a pretty perfect vacation. In fact, the genesis of this tour, because this is a Jubilee year and I knew that Rome was going to be a very crowded city for the entire calendar year of 2025, I actually invented this tour to omit Rome, and it was going to be Tuscany only. Eventually, my clients pushed me in another direction, and we ended up going to Rome for 3 nights. I really wanted a very different experience in Italy, something that might be attractive to second or third time travelers, but also a very fulfilling experience and an ability to check off a lot of the must-sees for the first-time traveler.
Different in terms of different places or and different things?
Different in terms of just a different pace and a different feel. I would say the average first-timer's tour to Italy is going to be Venice, Florence, and Rome. And all three are magnificent destinations. They're great cities, but emphasis on city. They're big cities with a lot of traffic, a lot of hustle and bustle. So I really wanted a tour this year that just had a different feel, that real rural laid back feel. So we got that for the first week in Tuscany, but then we shifted gears, went to Florence, of course, the birthplace of the Renaissance, a city that's so focused on its artistic heritage and history with the masterpiece of Michelangelo's David being there. And then another big gear shift when we went to Rome during the Jubilee year. And we were not alone. Rome was packed to the gills.
Tom, you wanted to jump in?
Yes, I did. I did. Once again, as Mark mentioned, we're talking with Clayton Whitehead, just returned from taking a group of sports leisure vacationers over to Italy. Wanted to ask you about the experience. First of all, Clayton, for those that haven't traveled with sports leisure or don't travel in groups or haven't, how many folks did you tagged along? How many in your party?
I had a group of 30, which is, I'd say, my average size for an international tour. And then once we arrived in Italy, we had an Italian guide that was with us from the start to finish. So there were two of us to lead and or bring up the rear, as the case might be,
right,
and share the load. Our Italian guide was particularly interesting. He was born in North Carolina, raised in Kansas, but married an Italian and had lived his entire adult life in Italy.
Oh.
So he was fluently bilingual, but completely American, but also completely Italian at the same time. So he really brought an interesting perspective to the table, and he had a lot of great stories and an evening aria every night to share with us.
You know, you mentioned something there that seemed a little off pace for a group of 30 people. You said that you hadn't really planned to go to Rome, but then, you know, the folks on the trip said, hey, why don't we do that anyway? And so right in the middle of a already planned travel, you were able to pack everybody up and go somewhere else?
Well, yes and no. One of the joys, I think, of working with a local company, so this is another little pitch for Sports Leisure, if I might be so bold, but one of the great joys of working with a local company is that we can communicate with each other. So when this trip was kind of born in my head about 2 years ago, I teased it in our newsletter. I put it out there to our client base that this was a destination I was interested in, and I was interested in doing it this way. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And as people started calling in to express their interest, I saw in so many after so many replies that maybe my decision to omit Rome was the wrong decision.
Oh, I see.
And I put it back in.
So let's make this very clear here. You did not add Rome, stay in Rome onto a tour that was already on the road just because people said they wanted to go there.
Yeah, Rome was not a last minute decision. It was a decision that was made. I made the decision to go to Italy probably 20 months ago, and the decision to add Rome was like 15 months ago.
Okay, if we can here for a minute, let's focus on some of the things on the trip. Let me double back and ask you again what some of the individual things that you did in each city. You know, for example, in Rome, if you had to tell folks who are listening right now, what are three things in Rome that you absolutely must do, even if you only have a short period of time, what would they be?
Well, number one is Vatican. And whether or not you're Catholic, Vatican. Vatican is so much more than a church and so much more than the seat of the Roman Catholic Church. It is one of the world's greatest museums. And it's also an architectural masterpiece when you talk about St. Peter's Basilica. Just in and of itself with the art and the domes and the columns and just every single aspect of it is breathtaking. And it absolutely must be
now,
done.
Now, can you just show up on the steps of the Vatican?
Absolutely not, and especially not this year, a Jubilee year. If you don't know, the Jubilee years come every 25 years. It's when the Pope calls all of his followers home to Mecca, if you will, on a pilgrimage. So I knew that tourism was going to be very, very strong in Rome throughout the year, especially in October when the weather is so choice. But it just meant making your reservations. It just meant planning. I mean, planning is what I do for a living. So it just meant making reservations and making sure everything was in order. So we absolutely had reservations to see the Vatican, which resulted in not only a timed entry, so we didn't waste a lot of time standing in line, but also a guided tour throughout the entire Vatican Museum complex, including the stunning Sistine Chapel, and then a visit into St. Peter's Basilica. A
couple of other things in Rome?
In Rome, well, Romans, right? The Roman ruins, the Circus Maximus, the Roman Forum, the Colosseum, all of these are in one particular area of town. And you can get a combination ticket to see them all. I believe it's 18 euro is the public rate. But here again, really and truly, any time, but especially at a time like the Jubilee year. Just make those reservations in advance. Make them online. Pay for the tickets in advance if you're traveling individually, and then you just go and check in and you're on your way.
Is it true what folks say about Tuscany being very similar to our Napa Valley?
It is. I mean, Tuscany and next door Umbria are the breadbasket of Europe, not just Italy. It's where so much agriculture comes from. And of course, the wine culture is a big part of that. So you see a lot of grapevines, but also olive orchards were very plentiful, and just row crops. The terrain is a lot different from our Central Valley. It's a lot more hilly, and the valleys are a lot smaller. So there weren't those long, long vistas like you see on a drive down I-5. But it's a beautiful part of the world. And again, agritourism is so big in Europe, and it's so well established. And there's lots of road signs and pamphlets you can pick up and booklets you can get that help direct you to these very small jewels. It kind of reminded me of going to wineries when I first moved to California over 30 years ago, when they actually cared that you were there and you actually spoke to the winemaker, and mm-hmm. you could have casual samplings and that's how it was traveling throughout Tuscany.
So it was a quality experience as opposed to a generic sort of go
Very
to a winery,
much.
Try the wine, move to the next winery.
Yes, absolutely. It was a flavorful trip.
Okay. Well, before you go, I want to ask you one more thing here, and that is Canadians are not coming to the United States in big numbers. Americans are still going to Canada, and by all reports, I'm headed up there for a convention in a couple of weeks to Ottawa, so I hope it's true. Canadians have not – there hasn't been backlash against U.S. visitors. Many other international travel outside of Canadian arrivals is also down, less dramatically, but not as many people are coming here, perhaps in part to the, let's call it, political turmoil that currently envelops our country. You were overseas in Italy. Did you experience any, if somebody's thinking about going to Italy, should they be concerned that American visitors are not being treated well, or that there's any type of backlash against Americans? Did you experience anything like that?
I felt nothing. I felt nothing, no anxiety, it was just a completely comfortable experience. To our credit, though, my groups tend to be this way anyway, but I just reminded everyone that we were traveling in a very interesting time politically, and perhaps this wasn't the time that you wanted to blow your horn too loud. Perhaps this was a time when you wanted to kind of stay quiet and stay on the down low and be very ultra respectful of all the goods and services and people that passed our way.
You never know what you might learn in a foreign country if you're doing less yapping and more listening too.
Yeah. And when you're nice, you usually get nice in return.
Yeah.
And we were a particularly nice group, and we did encounter a few groups that were, shall we, just a little bit perhaps different than us and a lot louder. And I don't think they got quite as nice a reception as we did.
Well, thank you. That was, as always, a brilliant recap of your travels along. What was the best restaurant you ate in? Any place?
Oh.
Where would you tell people to go?
Oh. Oh, if I could remember the name of it.
Oh, well, that would help.
It'll come to me probably the second we go off air. Uh-huh. We were, it was the home of a famous writer who it had been turned into a winery and a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And their specialty is a bright blue champagne that is, a sparkling wine, not a champagne. Whoop, mm-hmm. That's France. It was a Prosecco mixed with peach puree. And is it called Curacao, that bright blue liqueur? I think that's an orange liqueur. Oh, my gosh. It was one of the best things I'd ever had.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I ordered a case of it. I have never done this in my life, and I've traveled the world for over 30 years. I ordered a case of this Prosecco.
And which city was this restaurant in?
It was in one of them. To my defense, I had had a lot of that bright blue champagne.
get back to us on that, Clayton.
But it was really, really good. Can I get back to you next week on that?
Yes, or even during the next segment, you can. While we're talking, you can run by and yell it out if you want to.
Okay,
thank you.
Will do.
Clayton Whitehead from Sports Leisure Vacations with a recap of his trip to Tuscany and Florence and Rome and throughout Italy over the past month or so. When we come back, we're going to talk about travel insurance. Should you buy it? Who should you buy it from? What type of insurance should you buy? All of that coming up next right here on The Travel Guys.
It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us. We're into like week three. My gosh, it's like we've been here forever at our new home at Sat Down Sports 1140. All right, Mark, let's do it. Let's talk travel insurance.
Travel experts, in parentheses, almost universally tell people that they should insure their travel. Particularly long, exotic trips. You never know what's going to happen. But travel insurance is not cheap. And just like everything else, it's gotten less not cheap over the last couple of years. So it can be between 7 and 10% of the cost of your tour, of your trip on the average, whether it's a tour or just independent airfare or whatever that you're insuring. So it's if you're going on a $10,000 adventure, your insurance could be $700 to $1,000, a couple of people. It's a big chunk of cash. But it's something that you really should strongly consider, particularly for international things. But there really are some important questions. Tom, let me ask you. You're pretty much a domestic traveler.
Yeah.
Do you ever insure your domestic trips when you're taking the family to Disneyland or anything?
You know, I've never done that. I've never considered that we were going to be gone for that long or it was going to be a situation that warranted it. We've talked a lot about it on this show, and I can tell you if I am going to do a overseas or maybe a cruise or whatever, it'd definitely be something I would consider. But for my domestic little bit of travel, I have not.
Well, and there are lots of things. You can get insurance that covers you. For example, if you have an illness and you may have to verify that with a some type of diagnosis from a physician or a hospital or whomever, whatever is appropriate there. Some insurance is called cancel for any reason, which means if you get up in the morning and you decide that you just don't want to go on this trip anymore, you can call and cancel and you will get some type of a refund. Now, I will tell you, cancel for any reason insurance is more expensive. And also, in many cases, you will not receive a full cash refund, but you will receive a partial refund and a credit towards future travel. So be careful when you're looking at different types of insurance, because the less things that an insurance covers, obviously, the cheaper it will be. But in some cases, the reason that you want the insurance is in case something strange happens. Here comes Mr. Whitehead, who was here with us in the last segment. We were trying to figure out the name of that restaurant in Italy.
Too Much Blue Wine. It's a Tuscan estate just outside of Florence called Casa Machiavelli. And it was the home of Niccolo Machiavelli, who was the author of The Prince, one of the greatest political satires ever written.
So that's your favorite meal stop.
Oh, my gosh.
In all of Italy.
The food was pretty awesome, but that blue juice they were pumping out, oh, my gosh, it was great.
All right. Thank you, Clayton. So with travel insurance, really and truly, first of all, what type of insurance do you need? Do you need something that covers every situation, or you just need something that covers emergencies, or do you want that cancel for any reason type thing, which is more expensive? Also, be careful who you're buying the insurance from. Don't ever buy, you buy an airline ticket and the thing comes up and says, would you like to insure your travels? Never, never, never. That insurance company, that policy was written for the airline. It's not to protect you, it's to protect them. So never buy your travel insurance from the company that's selling you the travel. For example, here at Sports Leisure Vacations, somebody's buying an international trip. We have an independent company that we sell them the insurance. We don't sell the insurance from the tour company that we're doing business with, per se. So that's probably the most important thing is never buy the insurance from people, the people who are selling you the travel product. But be careful. Do your homework. Really, really, really do your homework. And for big international trips, it's something that you really have to consider.
Well, I'll tell you, good information to make you a smarter traveler. Here every Saturday from 11 to 12, podcasts available at travelguysradio.com. Also at this radio station's website as well. Mark?
Remember, dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next Saturday morning at 11 o'clock.